to ask them to do that this morning. I'd heard it a couple Sunday nights ago and said such a wonderful job with it. I wanted it done again, and they did. Let's give our Lord and Savior a round of applause this morning. Amen. We're going to be in Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 32. And this is really sort of a start for a series that we're going to be bringing titled The Bad and the Good News About the Distant Country. And I know that I say this from time to time, so I don't want to overuse the phrase, but I say this quite a bit. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And if I really had to center it down, you know, it usually centers on what I'm preaching in a particular Sunday or what I'm studying in. But if I really had to single it down to one particular passage, it would be this 15th chapter, verses 11 through 32. It's the parable of the prodigal son. And it's a story that really is like no other story. It epitomizes these truths. I'm going to have them on the screen here for you today, and I want us to sort of think about these, because I think they really line up with some of the things that we hope to see in our communion service this morning. There are consequences for our actions. There always are. One of the saddest consequences that comes from our actions is relational. When we have bad actions, we can see bad consequences relationally that come from those things. And I'm talking about the loss of fellowship. If you remember in the story, both sons were distanced. Here's another thing that we see in the story as well. Geographical location doesn't always represent closeness. I stand in front of you today, and sometimes I wonder how close I really am to God. I'm hoping you would be open and honest, admit that to yourself today as well. You know, in the parable, the one son, he traveled a great distance, the Bible tells us, to be away from home. And the other one stayed home. But we know in the story that the one that was home was just as distant as the one who made the journey to the distant land. And this is one of the most amazing things about the story. There's always grace for those actions. There always is. The father's grace went out to the son, who went and spent everything, just wasted it, threw it away. And it also went out to the son who was there, near, but yet so distant. So today, as we look at the elements, the bread and the fruit of the vine today in the Lord's Supper, I hope we realize that it's really a picture of fellowship. It's about a relationship that we already have with God. It's not about establishing a relationship with God. We're doing these things because we have a relationship right now with God, and it's reflective of that. So today, we have an open communion here at this church, and what we mean by that is this. If you have a personal relationship with Christ, you've submitted your life to Him, and you've been scripturally baptized, then, my friend, we invite you to participate in this meal today with us. And today, I want us to look, and before we go into our prayer time, and consider the prodigal son. And we might have a tendency here just to think that it's everybody else that's prodigal. It's my son. It's my daughter. It's my father. It's my mother. It's my grandmother. We always want to think it's somebody else. But the reality is that it probably is us. All of us are not as close as we should be. So let's stand today. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And on the screen is the Word of God. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him out into the field to feed the swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise, and I will go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he rose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son, was dead, and is alive again. He is lost, and he is found.' And they begin to be merry. Now the older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing, so he called one of his servants, and he asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore the father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandments at any time, and you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you're with me always, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry. Be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" You may be seated. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word today. Today we're going to go into an invitation time. And during that prayer time before the Lord's Supper, here's what we're going to do. From the seat where you're at, even from this altar, if you choose to come forward, we're going to confess. We're going to confess before our Lord. Before we can help anyone else, and a lot of you have prodigals in your life, before we can help anyone else in our life, we've got to get some things straight in our own life. That's the reality. You know, it's like on an airplane, and they say this over and over again on every commercial flight. Before you can put the air mask on someone else, you've got to put it on yourself. And so I want to make an appeal today that we confess. We're distant. We think because we're here, we've done some things, and we're doing some things, we're close to God. We're like the older brother. And so before we can help anyone else, we've got to work on ourselves. The fact is, being here is not really a sure sign of fellowship. That's a fact. Me being up here in front of you is not a sure sign of fellowship with the Father. So today, I'm going to ask us to do some things. I'm going to ask us to confess. Confess that we're just not where we should be. We may be here, but our heart is distant. We're thinking about dinner today, lunch today, thinking about the work week next week. We weren't close to God any time last week, really. And we've showed up here today, and, you know, we don't really care whether we're here or not. That's some of us here today. We need to confess that before God. And when we do that, my friend, we can begin to be like the Father and look out in the distance Pray for that son. Pray for that daughter. Pray for that person that we know that is so distant from God, they're in the distant country. We need to do that. And I believe we're going to do that today. I hope and pray we are. So, this time, I'm going to go to the altar. If anyone would love to come and pray at this time as well, we certainly invite you to come. If there's anyone right where you're at, you're certainly welcome to pray right where you're at. But we're just going to have an invitation here and some confession here before God the Father. So let's all stand again. And God's leading you. Please come forward today.
I hear the Savior say, I
let's pray. Father, again, as we come before you corporately with the realization that we could not approach you had you not approached us first. Care for us first, love us first, provide for us in ways that we could never provide for ourselves. I pray that the word as it was presented today will find its intended receiver, that we will not be in the church and be distant from you. Lack of fellowship is a horrible thing. We pray for closeness relationally with you, and therefore we will see closeness relationally with those around us as well. We thank you for what is represented today and the elements of this meal. We pray that as we participate, it's a reflection of our closeness to you. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. starting next Sunday morning before we go into the communion service. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's right. Before we start the, we'll be starting a new series, as I've mentioned. And I want to challenge the church in our closeness that you invite people over the next 6 weeks. It's important. People that maybe have disconnected from the church, maybe have disconnected from God in general. You pray about it and ask for God to give you just a venue to speak to that person. And I believe that they will be able to hear some things from the Word of God, from this wonderful, wonderful story that will show them the journey home. Because ultimately, it is about the journey home. All right, we're going to ask our deacons to come forward at this time. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verses 23 through 26, and here's what he says. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Then he ties that all together with this. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." It's a proclamation. It's a proclamation of fellowship. It's a proclamation of his return as well. And that's why we love to do this so much. So let's distribute the bread, gentlemen. Oh, Will's going to read. Sorry. So we examined the bread this morning. I'm reminded of in the Old Testament, I believe it's in Exodus, where he talks about the bread from heaven that had rained down, the manna. It was a small, right thing. Our little thing is square. But the bread from heaven was a very interesting thing because it represented the Lord Jesus Christ and symbolically. Today, as we look at this, we realize this represents the body of Christ. It's a memorial, what he gave for us. See, sin needs to be punished. And everything that we have ever done wrong in life and ever will do wrong in life, every sin was placed upon his body. That's just unbelievable. No wonder his father turned his face from him. No wonder he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You know, it's a dreadful thing. And we often, we just forget. We minimize what sin really does. My friend, it not only separates us from God, it will cost you in this life dreadfully. So today as we look at this, we are saying, we've put our trust in him. We can't make it on our own. There's no way that we could make it on our own. We've asked him to save us. Our identity is now in him. So the Bible says that, and when he given thanks, he broke it and said, and repeat this up from the screen, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Come and to share the cup. As we think about the cup today, it represents his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. See, it was just not enough that sin was punished. It also had to be forgiven. And this is why it's forgiven. His blood was very, very unique. We inherit things from our Father. We inherited something from his Father, sinlessness. The most unique blood of all human history. Without sin, without a trace of sin in it. And because he shed that innocent blood, we have innocence now in our life because of what's been applied to us. So the Bible says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." All to stand at this time. The conclusion of that first supper, Lord's Supper, looked a lot different than what it looks corporately here for us today. The way that they did it, they were reclining or eating what was called a triclinium, just lounging, having a conversation. It tells us that in the Bible it says this, it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out from the Mount of Olives." So today we just want to do our best to follow that model. We want to sing together corporately, and then we want to dismiss. So, Brother Jeff, to come and lead us. And you will be dismissed by the song.
Just sing that chorus that we just did with that invitation.
Jesus made it all.
We're going to have ushers stationed at the doors here as you're leaving. We're collecting for our benevolence fund. So that's the way that our deacons can help the families within our congregation that need help. You've been very gracious in the past. It helps them help others. And so we're trusting them to do the right thing. And believe me, they do the right thing when it comes to handing out the funds. They do a great job with that. So if you have something to help along the way with that, we certainly would appreciate it. God bless you. Have a great day in Him.